grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today, this the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, is our second lesson, book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at the first verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, well-known passage of Scripture, a book of Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now right there, you have the whole package. You have the destination, which is to be saved, to be delivered from sin that would kill you otherwise, to be given a cleanness from the Lord that no religion or moral system has ever been able to give to anyone, because you can't climb a ladder to God. There is no ladder to God. By grace you are saved. It's all by a gift, by the grace of God. And not only that, even faith in your heart is a gift of the Lord. In other words, from start to finish, from creation to salvation to everlasting life, everything is by God's grace, by God's doing. Well, if you take it all together, you come to an inescapable conclusion. And that is that no one can boast. Now, if you open your Bible, you will find that said more than once. You'll find over and over again that the good Lord, by example or by command, takes a dim view of boasting, a dim view of human pride, a dim view of human self-exaltation. He also takes a dim view of jealousy, but that's for another sermon. But he puts it very straightforwardly. Book of Proverbs, chapter 6, it says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. It says there, these are abominations, or in Hebrew, disgusting things to the Lord. The Lord hates them. And first on the list is what? Haughty eyes. Haughty eyes. No one can boast. And so, with that in our belts, you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and the very first words that come out of St. Paul's mouth are what? He says, I have to boast. It's necessary to boast. And he says that because he is writing to a bunch of boasters. And he has to talk their language because they don't understand it otherwise. He has to talk their language. He can't get through to them otherwise. See, what you've got here is the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians, church at Corinth, and that is the, or was the, goingest congregation in the New Testament. Those folks had spiritual gifts. They had spiritual knowledge. They had spiritual wisdom. They had dynamic leaders. None of the other churches could hold a candle to them. You had the church at Philippi. That congregation was small and it was poor. And you had the congregation in Jerusalem and they were downtrodden and mistreated. But you came to Corinth and the Corinthians were a class unto themselves. They were the crown on the body of Christ, the Lord's church. St. Paul even admits it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he says, you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness. You carry a big Bible and you got a serious look on your face and you're ready to do the work of the Lord. But then in today's lesson, St. Paul says, you know what? You know what, you spiritual giants? I've got you beat. I have got you beat. I don't just have one gift from the Lord. I've got two gifts from the Lord. Maybe you saw them as we were reading through the lesson just a moment ago from 2 Corinthians 12. Two gifts from the Lord. What was the first gift? The first gift from the Lord was, and see if you can beat it, visions and revelations. Visions and revelations. St. Paul had many of them. We actually have a record. He recounts a few of them on the road to Damascus. What happens? How does Paul become a Christian? Saul becomes Paul. How does he become a Christian? He becomes a Christian because the Lord knocks him down flat. The Lord blinds him with a bright light. And those around him hear the voice of the Lord speaking to him. St. Paul, after he's a Christian, is called to preach. And he preaches throughout what we would call Turkey nowadays. That's the area of the Roman Empire where he was preaching. But one night he had a vision from God of a man of Macedonia, that's Europe, a man of Macedonia saying, come over and help us, come over and help us. And so the gospel crossed over into Europe. Then you have the book of Galatians chapter 2. After 14 years, he said, I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas. We took Titus along with us. I went up because of a revelation of God. And then to top them all, you have today's lesson. Paul says, I know a man in Christ, and he's talking about himself. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows. But I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows. And this man heard things that cannot be told, words that man may not utter. In his wisdom, the Lord knew that Paul needed something for his work. He needed to have his faith encouraged. He needed to see these things. He needed to be given these visions and revelations. And it's a little different than nowadays, because nowadays you have people come along now and again who say, I was taken up into heaven. I had a near-death experience or something like that. And usually if they have an experience like that, they end up writing a book. But St. Paul doesn't write a book about it. He doesn't even describe it except just a little bit, because he says, I'm not going to go beyond what the scripture says. I'm not here to satisfy your curiosity. What I'm here for is to tell you about the gifts of God, the blessings of God. That was a gift. But I want to get on to the better gift, the greater gift, the second gift from the Lord. So let's let him describe it. He says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. He says, that's the second gift God gave me. It was given to me. That means it's a gift. Who gave it? The Lord God. What was it that was given? A thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. And why was it given? Well, in case you missed it, Paul says it twice. He says it was to keep me from becoming conceited, from becoming puffed up. Now, when people read this passage of Scripture, almost invariably, they read about the thorn in the flesh and they take it as a physical illness. And the Bible does keep it very vague so that every one of us can draw our own conclusion and draw our own comfort from it. But I have to point out to you something about the wording that Paul uses, which is actually very startling. He says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, an angelos satana, an angel of Satan. That's literally how he puts it, which implies not a physical illness, but a personal being, an evil personal being, but a personal being. Now, you can soften the word from angel to messenger, but it still implies a personal being. And the Lord says what? Paul says, this was given as a gift to me by who? By the Lord. The Lord says, Paul, it's your birthday, I'm going to give you a gift. An evil spirit is going to trouble you, is going to harass you, is going to plague you. It's at this point where we pause and our hand has a way of flying to our mouth, and what do we say? We say, well, how can a good God, how can a loving God send an evil spirit? And the quickest answer to that question is that the Lord can send anyone he wants. He can send what suits his purposes, what furthers his work, what is the best way to bring about his outcome. And you see that in the Bible periodically. You see, Satan was used by God to do what? To afflict Job. You see that Satan was used by the Lord to afflict King Saul. We've talked about that in our Bible class recently. The Lord can use anyone that he wants. And I want to put it that way because no doubt the devil thinks he's operating independently. And sometimes you and I think we're operating independently of the Lord. But Satan's very existence is due to the Lord's power. Today and beyond the day when Satan is thrown into the lake of fire. But no matter what, Satan is being used by the Lord. Because all power in earth and heaven is the Lord's. Philippians chapter 2, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, Satan's knee as well too. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, follow that, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess, Satan's tongue also, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's no boasting there. There's nobody being conceited there. There is no independent operation of the Lord. It's just the Lord's purposes being done. It's just the Lord's name being glorified. The Lord can use the devil. The devil is not an independent operator. If it helps, think about King David for a moment. If you read about King David, and we've done that in Bible class again recently, King David was one of those gifted, talented kids that you hear about. King David was personally courageous, and he was musically gifted, which is a very interesting combination. But it wasn't a complete combination. David needed another gift. And the Lord gave it to him, and gave it to him but good. David was chased all over the kingdom by King Saul, who wanted him dead. David was chased and attacked by numerous other enemies who wanted him dead. David, as a king, was plagued with palace intrigues and people vying for the throne. David had many personal failings, many moral failings as well. David survived how? He survived by the grace of God, just like the Lord said to St. Paul, my grace is sufficient, my favor is sufficient, my pardon is sufficient for you. And what did the Lord do with King David? The Lord took the gifts that he had given him, his talents, and the Lord took the gifts he had given him, his troubles, and he welded them together. He melted them together. It's kind of like if you take a piece of tin and you rap on a piece of tin, it makes a flat sound. We call it tinny. If you take a piece of copper and you rap on it, it makes a flat sound. Doesn't sound too good. If you melt down the tin and you melt down the copper, you take those two things, those two gifts, you put them together, it creates something called bronze or brass, yeah, but bronze particularly. And you have bronze, and what do you make out of bronze? Well, statues, but closer to home, what do you make out of it? Church bells. You take these two metals that by themselves are flat, you melt them together, and you create a church bell, which rings beautifully and can be heard for miles. And so what did the good Lord do with King David? Out of the furnace, the Lord melted his troubles and his talents together and created a large part of the book of Psalms, which have comforted believers and encouraged believers in every generation and glorified the Lord as well, too. Now, you have no talent, no book of Psalms. You have no troubles, no book of Psalms. But you put them together, then you have the book of Psalms. And so St. Paul would say, St. Paul, who was called by a man of Macedonia in a wonderful vision, come over and help us, come over and help us. This is what Paul said. He said, for even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. But, today's lesson, the Lord said to me, my grace, my favor, my pardon is sufficient for you. It is enough to be a forgiven sinner, because my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast. I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am well pleased with weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because then the Lord is strong. And in all things, the Lord is gracious, and he is loving, and he is good. And in that, Paul says, I will boast. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.